Please silence your electronic devices so we're ready to listen to Arlen's prelude. Thank you, Arlen. Well, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church on this Super Bowl Sunday. Definitely spelled two ways today. I was excited when Pastor Cynthia told us last Sunday what today's scripture was going to be. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of my favorite scriptures. So since today is probably going to be my last day to serve as a presiding elder, I couldn't be happier with the selection. To me, it's the heart of the gospel message, even though it's not in the gospels, and it's a clear direction for our Christian walk. Please sign the friendship sheet after. Pass it down the aisle and take note of those around you. Now let's look really quickly at the announcements in the bulletin on your purple sheet. They're really important. Debbie Mastis asked me to tell you that the Holy Cross Center, which is mentioned in the first announcement, is really open from 10 to 12 and from 1 to 3, Monday through Friday. So that's a correction you can make. And then be sure to check out the very special Valentine dinner that's going to be held. The CWF ladies are, I guess now we're calling ourselves the Disciples Women's Ministry, are going to be putting that on, and all you have to do is sign up and come. So we'd really like to have you here. I think you're all good readers, and you can manage the rest of this. Now, before we sing our opening hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, on page 517, verses 1, 2, and 4, please stand and greet each other. Please join me in the call to worship. Love, without it, we are like clanging cymbals.
We can speak like prophets, but we still have to love.
We can build great buildings, but we need to love.
We can preach and pray, thank God every day. love.
Be patient and kind, with no envy in mind. Love.
Don't be rude or resentful. Don't insist on your own way. Love.
How can we sing without it? Sorry. Who can serve God without it?
Love.
We just stopped by today so that God could remind us to
love.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord and Savior of us all, we come to you with hearts in all sorts of conditions. Some are joyful and hopeful. Some are worried. Some are crushed with hurt and pain, grief and sadness, fear and doubt and guilt. But dear Lord, you are here for all of us. You are the steadfast anchor of our souls, the one on whose love and mercy we can depend. We pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. If you would, take out the purple Chalice Praise songbook in front of you and turn to page 152. If you were here last Sunday, you may remember that we sang this song. Donna played it on the organ. We're going to try it again today with Arlen on the piano. And we'll sing it as it's written. You'll notice there's a repeat at the top, so we sing two verses and the refrain, and then we'll do the whole thing again. We are an offering. Back to the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. We are an offering, our lives, our hands, our voices, all that we are, we bring to the Lord. I invite the children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. Good morning. Blake had an exciting adventure this week. He lost a tooth. Was it your very first tooth? That's amazing. And the tooth fairy came. You've had that happen, haven't you?
Yeah.
And Mackenzie will in a few years. Yeah. This morning I have something to share with you all. This is an offering box. You wondered what it was, huh? It's a box that has a little space in the top where you can put in a coin. Would you like to put a coin in the box? Put it in the slot right there. Excellent. I'll have you guys help me too. A quarter for each of you to put in the offering box. So this offering box is for the Week of Compassion. And the Week of Compassion is a special offering we take every year in February to help people when there are times of disaster, if there's a storm and people lose their homes, if there's some horrible event that happens and people need help. We take an offering in advance, and so when something bad happens, the church can respond and be right there. There are more of these boxes on the back table, and every one of our children, and we are all children of God, can take a box home for your family. There's also an offering calendar with it. And today, under Sunday, week one, it says, "To God be the glory, give 2 units in an act of praise for God's faithfulness." You can decide what your unit is going to be. It could be a penny or a dollar. I have quarters. So, Mackenzie, would you put 2 quarters? Because we're praising God, will you put 2 quarters in the box? You are so good at that. The accountant's daughter is learning to save. That's a good thing. Then on Monday, we'll go ahead and read ahead a little bit. It says, more than 68 million people have been forcibly displaced from their homes worldwide. Give 1 unit if home is a place where you feel safe. Blake, do you feel safe at your home? You do? Here's a quarter, and you can put it in the box. And on Tuesday, it says, in 2018, wildfires burned 8.6 million acres in the United States. There were fires in California and a lot of different places. Give 1 unit for every smoke detector in your home. Do you know, is there a smoke detector at your house? Do you know, do you have more than one?
Yeah.
Do you know how many you have?
No.
Well, we have one downstairs by our bedroom, and we have one upstairs in the kitchen. So we'll count smoke detectors in the McBride house. There's 2 quarters for 2 smoke detectors, and you can put those in the box. Excellent. And we'll read one more day. Thanks to diverse efforts, rates of extreme poverty continue to decline around the world. Give 1 unit in celebration of this progress and 1 unit to continue the good work. Do you want to put in another quarter? I'll let you do one. And I'll do one. And you guys can each do one. Because we're celebrating all the goodness that God does. So you all can take home an offering box with you for your family. And you can save your coins during this coming month. You can save up all your spare change. You can follow the calendar if you want. Put something in every day. The last Sunday in February, we're going to have everyone bring all their spare change, and we're going to have a noisy offering. We're going to see how much noise we can make in the offering plate that morning. It's already kind of noisy. I bet if everybody brings an offering box, it will be a joyful noise. Would you all pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks for the blessings that we have. We thank you for homes that feel safe. We thank you for firefighters who respond when wildfires or home fires rage. We thank you, Lord, for efforts to end poverty around the world and end suffering for your people. We pray your blessing, O God, upon all the work of Week of Compassion and upon the Church Universal, that all of your followers, O Christ, might show your love each and every day. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, Amen. and you can head to worship and wonder. As our children are leaving the sanctuary, I invite you to look at the back of the bulletin at the list of prayer concerns and joys. And as we do so, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that in the offering. Our card shower this morning is for Elaine Singleton. She had rotator cuff surgery done, and she is home and recovering. It will be a several-week process for her to mend fully and then do some therapy. Prayers of healing for Elaine and patience for Al as he's helping to care for her. We lift up prayers of sympathy today to the family of Catherine Conley, praying for her sister Arlene Wagner, her mother Marie Henthorne, and all of the family. Kathy passed away on Wednesday evening. It is a joy that Bjorg, a friend of the McNamara's, is home from the hospital and is cancer-free. We rejoice in that news. We continue to pray for all those who are living with cancer, including Dave Baker, Scott Whitcomb, Eli Halleck, John Barrett, and others. Michelle asks us to pray for Reese. Her little guy will have his tonsils out on Thursday, and we pray that that procedure goes well. Our community and world concerns include prayers for Ben Drollet, who serves as a missionary in Lebanon, for those affected by a tornado in Cuba, which took several lives, and for our Catholic brothers and sisters in the Philippines. Last Sunday during Mass, there was a bombing at a cathedral, and then a second bomb exploded when first responders were on site. Prayers for all of those who've lost life and the impact on communities. There have been deaths in our own country due to the polar vortex and people dying of exposure in frigid weather in the Midwest and along the East Coast. Prayers for all of those affected by the weather. Some additions to the list. Debbie asks us to pray for her friend Judy Mullen. Judy is 61. She suffered a severe fall downstairs at her home and ended up having swelling in her brain because of that. She has been seriously injured and is now on life support. Her daughter is flying in from Florida to be here with the family. So please pray for all of those who are gathering around Judy. Dominic Birch is a co-worker of Dewey Smith's. He left work with pneumonia, went to the doctor, and found out that he also has diabetes and was in a serious state because of that. Prayers of healing for Dominic as he recovers from pneumonia and learns to live with diabetes. George Morrison's mother, Joyce, who is 93 and has COPD, is at the hospital today. They took her to ER yesterday. She'll be at Wyoming Medical Center for a couple days. Joyce is blind and has a very hard time hearing, so she is extremely dependent on her daughter, Kathy. Prayers for George, for his sister, Kathy, and for their mom, Joyce. We give thanks for those who have brought food to make gifts for the Super, S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl of Caring. You can still bring additional items during the week if you forgot your food this morning. You can just drop them off at the office. This year's gathering is benefiting the Holy Cross Food Pantry, which has been a staple in our community for many years. Our regional prayer partners are the members of Heart of the Rockies Christian Church in Fort Collins. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you would like to sign and send greetings. Greetings to all the members there and to their pastor, Melissa St. Clair, and their associate pastor, Daniel Livers. We continue to pray for the members of our congregation who are working on the associate minister search process. We have a group meeting every Wednesday to discuss job description and two other teams as well. Prayers for this journey for this congregation. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer or joys to share? Dan.
Our friend Michael Strong, senior, went and collapsed the other day at the hospital. And since I got a tumor in his stomach, he had to move, he's still in the hospital.
Prayers for Michael, who collapsed and had a tumor in his stomach. He's still in the hospital. Prayers of healing and recovering for him. Cal. Prayers for the Marcus family at unexpected death this week. Prayers for the widow left behind, and prayers for a son who's struggling with health. Madison.
The job that I'm really hoping to get, the application closes tomorrow night, so I'm hoping I hear something this week.
Prayers for Madison and for all of those who are waiting for news on job opportunities. Paul.
Prayers of appreciation and oversight for the many school bus drivers that travel our roads all kinds of day and night throughout the week, taking young people to different destinations or competition or whatever interaction happens. But we have one right here, two bus stops that travels all the time, and we're grateful.
Prayers of safety for all the school bus drivers, especially in inclement weather and when they're surrounded by impatient other drivers. If you're passing a school bus, pray for that driver and be courteous and give them room for the safety of our students. Let us lift all these to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O God of every nation, we marvel at your depth of love for all of your children. We are humbled, Holy One, by how much you love us. And we are reminded to love one another, to love others in your name, O Christ. And so we strive to live lives rooted in love, where we respond with compassion and kindness, where we work for justice and live in peace, not just among members of one congregation or one community, but as citizens of the world. Oh Lord, the human family is so diverse. Thank you for loving each and every one of us. Holy God, we ask for your healing hand to be upon those who are sick or suffering this day. Be with Elaine as she recovers from surgery. Heal hearts made heavy by sorrow. Watch over Marie and Arlene as they mourn Kathy's passing. And be with the Marcus family as they face both grief and health concerns. Lord, we pray for Scott and Dave and Eli and John and others who live with cancer. We pray for courage and support for their family and friends and caregivers. We pray for success in cancer research, for easing of pain for those who face hard treatments. Lord, thank you for little Reese and his loving family. Be with them on Thursday. We pray for a friend, Michael, who collapsed and was hospitalized to discover that he had a stomach tumor. Lord, we ask your healing hand to be with him. We pray for Dominic as he recovers from pneumonia and lives with diabetes. Lord, be with George's mother, Joyce, as she is at the hospital trying to regain strength and living with COPD. We thank you, God, for the ways in which you embody love through acts of caring. In churches across our community and across our country, youth groups and others gather collections of soup and gifts of food. On a day when our country with joy watches a great sporting competition, we set aside competitive spirits in order to join with one another to respond to needs around us. Lord, we pray for your blessing to be with all those who serve in your name. Be with Ben Drollet and bless the work that he does in Lebanon. Be with Melissa and Daniel and all the members of Heart of the Rockies Christian Church in Fort Collins. And God, on this day, we pray that you are beginning to prepare the heart of a servant who in the future will be called to join the ministerial staff of this congregation. We don't yet know that person, but we trust that your spirit is already at work preparing for seeds to be planted in the future in this place. Holy God, we ask your blessing to be with those who are struggling from severe storms, from a tornado in Cuba and a bombing in the Philippines. When tragedy strikes, O God, people turn to you and cry out. Thank you for being ever present to answer the cries of humanity. We thank you, God, for the ability to do work that is meaningful and has purpose. We pray for your spirit to be with Madison this week, as job applications close tomorrow and she is hopeful to receive an interview. Lord, we pray that opportunities would open wide for her, that she would be well equipped to step forward to work. We thank you, God, for the work done so faithfully and well by school bus drivers who keep students safe. We pray that you would watch over Steve and all of his coworkers when they get behind the wheel of a big yellow bus. Keep them focused. Let other drivers respect the precious cargo that they haul. We pray for safety on roads and highways and city streets. Good and gracious God, many are the prayers of your people. We lift our prayers to you this day, those that we have named to share with one another, and those that are not spoken aloud and only whispered in our hearts. We thank you, O God, that you always hear and respond in love. Amen. At this year's Martin Luther King Day walk and service event here in Casper, the main speaker was a National Geographic explorer and writer who's based out of Laramie. Among other stories that he shared with those who were gathered, he talked about an expedition he had taken in the Sinai in Egypt. He was part of a small group of elite climbers who were tackling a steep natural rock wall. In order to meet that physical challenge, they relied on a Bedouin guide and his neighbors and friends and the gift of camels to help transport them through the desert and set up camp at the base of this remote cliff. In the story that he shared, he talked of how their Bedouin guide got up every day at 3 a.m. to build a fire and bake bread. So when the climbers were up at 4, there was a hot, hearty meal ready and waiting for them. It was an incredible gift of hospitality. As the days went on and the group got to know each other better, they became a bit curious. This small group of Americans sitting around a campfire in the middle of the night with four Muslim neighbors. Our speaker said he couldn't help but ask. He was curious because there's so much tension in the region of Sinai between Shiite and Sunni Muslim. It reaches international news often and sounds like a place of violence, though he pointed out the murder rate in the United States is much worse than in the Sinai in Egypt. He asked his guide, "So I'm just curious, are you Sunni or Shia?" He said that his host was offended by the question. He said, "I am a practicer of Islam. It does not matter what my sect is. I follow the one true God of peace, the God who calls Muslims, Christians, and Jews to live together in harmony in this world. Nothing else matters." He said he was incredibly humbled by that wise response and the bread he ate every morning at 4 a.m. Later, he went on to tell a story of St. Catherine's Monastery, also located in Egypt, the oldest continually inhabited Christian monastery in the world. It is an interesting place because within the stone walls, not only are there Christian monks, there is also an Islamic community and a Jewish community with permanent residence there. He said the world thinks the Middle East is a place where people fight all the time, and yet here he was in this place of hospitality with people of three faiths living in peace side by side. He said, "On Martin Luther King Day, when we walk for equality in Wyoming, there's something we still need to learn from the people of Egypt." I thought he was right. As we come to the Lord's table, we come as followers of one of three great world religions that all worship one God. We come specifically as followers of Jesus Christ to this Christian feast, where we break bread and remember the body of Jesus, so filled with God's love that it was broken for the sake of the world, that our sins would be forgiven and we might learn to love one another. We come to the table, each and every one of us invited in the name of Jesus to share in the cup, to remember the blood that was shed on Calvary long ago, but the lifeblood that also still flows through our faith, through our hearts, and to our world. May we come together to the Lord's Supper and prepare to share Christian communion by singing number 499, "When Love Is Found," verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of this hymn based on 1 Corinthians 13.
Thank you.
trade. He took a loaf of bread and broke it, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
In lifting this bread and cup of remembrance here this morning, O God of sacrifice, we are lifting high the cross of Christ and proclaiming your great love. We partake with gratitude all the gifts that are in Christ crucified: new life, real unity, eternal life, and a meaningful purpose. Fill us now again with the power of your Spirit, that we might be bold in our witness of Jesus Christ, till all the world adores his sacred name. Amen.
Thank you.
At this point in our service, we bring our gifts to the Lord, who has given us so much. The diaconate will wait upon us. Father, thank you for all the gifts you have given us, and we pray that these portions we return to you will go out into this world of ours to do your work wherever they are needed. Amen. The scripture reading today is Psalm 71, 1 through 6, and it's on the in the Old Testament part of your Pew Bible on page 532. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress, to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually in you.
Our second reading of scripture today comes from the New Testament, page 175 in your Pew Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Madison, and Ethan, for that wonderful music. I know my Redeemer lives, and I sing of his love for me. What a great message for us. Would you pray with me? Holy One, we come before you seeking your love. Break open our hearts this day to know you in a deeper and more powerful way than before, that your love might fill us and flow through us. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There are few pieces of poetic reflection on the theme of love greater than this text by the Apostle Paul. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Oftentimes, even non-church folk can recognize at least a few snippets of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. We often hear this text read at weddings. I won't take a poll of married couples, but my guess is that several here may have had it read at your own wedding. It's ironic, then, perhaps, that the original context in which Paul wrote these beautiful words was not a romantic celebration between a husband and wife on their wedding day. The original context in which Paul wrote about love was a congregation in conflict and turmoil. The church at Corinth was about ready to split down the middle or fracture into multiple pieces when Paul wrote his letter that we now call 1 Corinthians. In chapter 12, Paul was addressing dissension in the congregation, a fight, if you will, about who had the greatest gifts. Paul used the image of a body to speak of how the church is like the body of Christ, and every member, every part of that body is important. Then at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, after naming different gifts, he says, strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. That sentence is his transition into talking about love. He spends all this time elaborating about spiritual gifts and the importance of the body, and then, to drive the point home, it's as if none of that is important. No matter what part of the body you are, no matter what gift you have, it doesn't matter if you don't love. Love one another. Love the Lord. And know that Jesus loves you. Broken and sinful, weak, failing, whatever struggle there is in your life, it's not enough to keep Jesus from loving you. I will show you a still more excellent way, he says. It's an interesting choice of words because in the early church, in those biblical days, the way was a reference to Christianity. In fact, before the followers of Jesus were called Christians, they were called followers of the way. So Paul is saying, almost in coded language, I will show you a still more excellent way. I will show you the way. I will show you Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian, to love. Another translation of that transition sentence from the Greek, I will show you a still more excellent way. It's interesting. It's hard to capture in English the nuances in Greek. Another translation says, I will show you a way beyond measure. It's as if the English language doesn't have a superlative enough verb or adverb or adjective to capture the essence of what Paul is trying to say. I'm about to reveal to you the secret, the heart of it all, he is saying. I want to show you a way that is so excellent, it's beyond being measured. It's beyond being counted. I want to show you love. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, he says, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's significant in the context of the church of Corinth that he makes that statement, for there was a dispute among them that there were some who had received the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, glossolalia, the ability to proclaim in words of praise beyond meaning, joy and praise of the Lord. There were others in the church of Corinth who were able to speak in foreign tongues. They were moved by the Spirit to speak a language that someone else would then interpret and say to the community at large, this is a gift from God. This is a message from the Lord. It's in that context of people who are trying to figure out a spiritual gift of tongues that Paul says, I can speak in the best tongues you've ever heard. I can speak in the language of every human being on the planet. I can even speak in the tongues of angels. But if I don't love while I'm speaking, I'm just making noise. That opening of 1 Corinthians 13 could be expanded in many different ways. You could say of your church choir. They can sing more beautifully than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but if they don't love, it's just noise. They could say to an architect designing a great cathedral, you could build the most glorious building the world has ever seen, bigger than St. Peter's in Rome, grander than the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. You could build the most glorious church the world has ever seen, but if you don't love, it's just a pile of rubble. It's as if Paul is saying you could start the best program in any church in the world. You could launch a sandwich ministry that'll feed 5,000 people. You could have an evangelism program that makes your church grow 10, 20, 30 fold. But if you don't love, those ministries matter not at all. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith even to move mountains, but I don't love, I'm nothing. He draws us up short. For so often we would measure our faith in different ways. As a congregation, we might want to measure our faith by worship attendance on a Sunday morning, or by growth in the church budget, or by care of the physical plant in which we gather. But if we don't love one another, nothing else matters. As individual Christians, sometimes we're tempted to measure our faith the same way, by worldly standards. Am I meeting a tithe, giving 10% of my income to the Lord? Am I attending worship faithfully every Sunday so I can get the perfect attendance award like someone else in the church? Am I teaching Sunday school to all the kids? All of that is great and good, but if it is not done with love, it matters not. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins a list of the attributes of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. The beautiful poetry of this description of love translates into multiple languages. And 1 Corinthians 13 is cherished around the world by believers and non-believers alike. We are stirred by the truth it speaks of the nature of love. In these few verses from 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is patient, to verse 8, love never ends. Paul has a litany of 16 attributes of love, 16 ways of describing God's love embodied in the followers of Christ. There's one way in which the translation to English falls short of the original Greek. It has to do with the voice. In English, it says love is patient. It's an adjective. It describes what love is. In the Greek, it's actually more like a verb. This is a list of 16 actions of things that love does. Love practices patience. Love makes kindness. Love is an active effort. The action of love is captured in the Greek. 16 times Paul tells us that love is doing. Love is being, love is moving, love is working, love is caring, love. Love is so real, you can't sit passively waiting for it to happen. Anyone who has been in a family, whether that's your biological family, your married family, your church family, anyone who's been in a group of people where you have tried to intentionally practice love and you've struggled to do so, you understand that love is active. Love is a choice. Love is something you have to work at sometimes. Perhaps that was the lesson Paul was trying to give those Corinthian Christians. You can't just sit around and talk about God's love. You have to show it. You have to embody it. Charles and I have been married 20 years, going on 21. Yesterday, we had a reminder of that. I've gotten on this kick of cleaning out closets this new year. Yesterday, we counted 20-year-old towels that were given to us as wedding gifts. A few of them, my husband graciously explained, have obviously been kind of pushed to the back of the closet and not used as much, which is why they're not as faded as the others that we've used over and over again. So we went through the towels and we picked the ones that were really kind of getting threadbare, the washcloth the dog had chewed a hole in the middle of, the one with the little pulls. I even trimmed off some of those shaggy edges of one towel that we both really like and kind of wanted to keep because it's soft. Don't tell anybody. After cleaning out our towels and reorganizing that section of the linen closet, I then moved on to a box downstairs in the craft room. Charles was watching TV, and I found this cardboard box that was taped up and sealed. It had obviously been taped for the last 10 years. It was labeled basement. We don't, I'm not sure how to explain. When we moved from Arizona, we didn't have a basement. And when we moved to Illinois, we had our first basement. This box has been sealed since the basement of Illinois. It was taped shut and hauled to Casper, and the movers said, it says basement, put it downstairs. It was shoved in the back of a craft closet behind projects I haven't done. I pulled it out, ripped the tape off the top, and discovered every card we received at our wedding 20 years ago. So before pitching some of them, I can't keep everything forever, in spite of what my mother may have practiced at one point in her life, I read through them, and Charles and I reminisced about friends who attended our wedding that we haven't thought of for maybe 10 years, 15 years. People who were generous to give gifts. I had written on the back of cards, teal towels. Here I was sorting through towels and then looking at cards of the people who gave us the green towels and the purple towels. Sorting through those cards, we found the one Hallmark card that was obviously the best seller in 1998 because we had received 5 copies of the same card. It was really pretty. It was white. It had flowers on the front, a picture of a candle. And guess what the text was? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. People who came to our wedding 20 years ago gave us cards that quoted 1 Corinthians 13. As I read through these memories and shared with Charles how blessed we were to be so surrounded by love that day and every day since, I realized that there have been moments in our marriage when we have been blessed to embody this text. There have definitely been times when Charles has been patient with me, when we have been kind with one another. There have been times when we have managed not to keep score. It says that love does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There have been times, I confess, when I have fallen short, when I have kept track of whose turn it is to wash the dishes or cook supper. By the way, for the record, he's ahead this week. He's cooked a lot more than I have. Love keeps no score of wrong. It's almost as if love somehow manages to be forgetful. At chapel this morning, in Carol's message, she talked about how part of our inheritance in the kingdom of God is the good fortune to be children of the Most High, who is forgetful, because God forgets our sin. To love one another is to forget the times that you mess up and you weren't perfect, and to actively choose every day to stay committed to that relationship, that family of which you are part. Sometimes we're tempted to think that church is kind of like a club, and you invite people who are really a lot like yourself because you want to hang out with them, and then everyone gets along. And then we say, well, that's the love of Christ. It's so peaceful here. Everyone's happy. But actually, that's not really what church is supposed to look like at all. Church is supposed to be a place where not only do you sit next to that person who makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, you also sit next to that cold, prickly person. You know, the one who had a lousy week and they really need to tell somebody about it, and you happen to be there. To love one another in church means that we welcome stranger and friend alike, and in one another we see the very presence of God. And that person who on Monday morning might annoy you more than you can possibly stand is the one who on Sunday takes a piece of bread and says to you, "This is the body of Christ." And together, when you share that communion, you find common union in the love of Jesus, which is so much bigger than the differences that would keep us apart. That's what love looks like. It's kind of ironic on a day when our country celebrates competition that we're hearing about the least competitive thing you can ever do. Love. Jesus even said to love your enemies. Wow. So, Patriot fans and Ram fans, this afternoon, when they cheer for their own team and yell at the ref on the TV who can't hear them, and holler down the hall to the Saints fan in the kitchen, "We need more chips." In the midst of all of that, they're supposed to still love each other? You mean Democrats and Republicans who can't agree on anything in Washington? If they're followers of Christ, they're supposed to love one another and actually listen when someone has a different perspective than theirs? This Christian thing is hard. I'm really surprised you all are here on Sunday morning. Wow. Love. Love is not easy, but it is so worth it. The wonderful American poet who recently went to her rest, Mary Oliver, once said, "There are 100 ways easier than love, but who wants easy?" This week, my friends, my prayer for you is not that your life will be easy, but that it will be filled with love. May it be so. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 526, "The Gift of Love." If there's anyone here this morning looking for a church home, we would welcome you to join us at First Christian. If you have never placed your trust, your faith, your love in Christ, we would invite you to come forward and do so today. Let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
I would remind you that there are refreshments downstairs waiting. I think there's plenty of coffee this week, so please stay, enjoy a cup, visit with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord of love, so fill us with your Spirit that when we go forth, we choose to love the world as you do. We choose to love people we meet every day as you do. We choose to love ourselves as your beloved. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of love, the Prince of Peace, amen.